Will you pray with me once more? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, at approximately 5 o'clock a.m. on August 31st, 2004, employees at a Burger King in a little town called Richmond Hill, Georgia, were shocked to discover this man lying behind their dumpster. The man was beaten and badly bruised. He was unconscious, stripped down to his underwear. He had red ant bites all across his body, from the top of his head to the very soles of his feet. And he also had three large depressions in his skull. They were caused by some kind of blunt force trauma. Now, the employees at the Burger King immediately called paramedics, who rushed him to the hospital. The man stayed in the hospital for several weeks in a coma. But eventually, he woke up. And when he woke up, he realized he was missing something. What was he missing? Well, the man was missing his memory. He told the doctors there he had no idea who he was. He said he thought his name was Benjamin, although he couldn't be sure. He said he didn't know where he was from. The police in the town ran to fingerprints, trying to find them in some government database, but they didn't show up. And so then they posted pictures of him all throughout the neighborhood where he was found, but still no one knew him. Eventually, people around the hospital started calling him Benjamin Kyle. They gave him a name with the initials BK since he was found at a Burger King. The Richmond Hill government passed him along to the state. The state passed him along to the federal government. And eventually, Benjamin Kyle became the very first person listed on the FBI missing persons database list whose location was known, but whose identity was unknown. See, the people there in Richmond Hill wanted to help Benjamin. They honestly did. But there was just a problem. They didn't know who he was. And because they didn't know who he was, they had no idea what to do with him. Who do people say that I am? That was a question Jesus asked his disciples in Caesarea Philippi. It's a question of identity. Who do people say the Son of Man is? The answer Jesus got to that question? Well, it was complicated at best. You see, all throughout the scriptures, we find there is no set agreement on who Jesus is. People throughout the scriptures have many different views as to what Jesus stood for, what he means. Some people in the Bible actually said Jesus was a drunkard and a glutton. But of course, other people called him a king. Some people in the scriptures said he was a Samaritan. But others called him a savior. Some people in the Bible, they called him a heretic, but others called him holy. You see, in the Gospels, oftentimes, Jesus' location is known, but his identity in that location? Well, it remains a mystery. That's why over the next 5 weeks in worship, during the season of Lent, we're going to be asking that same question Jesus asked his disciples many years ago. Who do people say that I am? We're going to be asking the question, who is Jesus? Who is he to other people? Who is he to you? Because the truth is, if you never realize who Jesus is to you, if you never figure out why he matters to you, well, then you will never know what to do with him. Who do people say that I am? You know, there are some people out there who say Jesus was a great teacher, great moral example. He was someone like John the Baptist, someone who was sent to the world so that he could reveal the wisdom of God to the people of God. And perhaps that's why in the gospel, one of the most common titles given to Jesus by everyone else is the title Rabboni, Rabbi. It means teacher. Maybe that's why in the country of India, Jesus isn't referred to as a savior. Instead, he is referred to as a guru. For some people, that's what matters most about Jesus, his teaching, his divine wisdom. He's like Buddha or the Dalai Lama. He's someone who can teach you a better way of life. That's who he is to some people. In his 2008 book, A Year of Living Biblically, a secular Jewish author by the name of A.J. Jacobs decided to conduct an experiment. A.J. decided he wanted to spend an entire year living by every rule, every teaching, every law in the scripture. He decided he wanted to follow it as closely as possible, word for word. Now, when his little experiment began, AJ looked like that. But at the end of his experiment, 365 days later, he had changed quite a bit. Now, in his book, he said he followed every rule he could find. He followed the Ten Commandments. He attempted to be fruitful and multiply with his wife. He said he stopped wearing clothes of mixed fabrics. He began playing a 10-string harp. He even stoned adulterers. He said he picked up little pebbles and tried to toss it without being noticed. He said he also followed the teachings of Jesus, word for word. As best he could, he tried to love his enemy. He prayed for those who persecuted him. He forgave not 7 times, but 77 times. He was the best disciple he could possibly be. And at the end of his experiment, this is what he said. He said, "I am still an agnostic, but I am a reverent agnostic. I've come to believe all of life is sacred. I've come to believe the Sabbath is sacred. I've come to believe prayer is sacred. And so I'm going to keep saying prayers of thanksgiving. I'm not sure who I'm thanking, but I've become addicted to being thankful." Now, where did A.J. Jacobs learn that kind of gratitude? Well, he said Jesus taught it to him. Who do people say that I am? Well, some people say Jesus was a teacher, someone like John the Baptist, someone sent here to be a moral example to the world. Whether you believe in God or not, that is how some people view him. But of course, it's not the only way you can look at him. Because you see, for some people, Jesus isn't so much a teacher or moral example. For some people, Jesus is a prophet. He's someone like Elijah or Jeremiah. For some people, Jesus is someone who was sent here to reform society into a new, more loving image. In fact, most other religions choose to view Jesus in this way. They view Jesus prophetically. The Muslim tradition or the Jewish tradition, they view him as a social reformer who was sent here to teach us how to love better, to share in community better. For some people, that is who Jesus is. Someone sent here to teach us about loving and reforming society. Maybe you remember the story of Grace Thomas. She was the daughter of a streetcar conductor from Birmingham, Alabama, who married a boy from Georgia Tech and eventually moved to Atlanta in the 50s. And she went on to get her law degree, but then she shocked her family when in 1954 she announced that she was going to run for governor of the state. Well, there were 9 candidates for governor that year in Georgia, but there was only one issue anyone was talking about: segregation. You see, 8 of the candidates there in Georgia objected to the recent Supreme Court decision in Brown versus the Board of Education, but one candidate said she didn't. One candidate said that decision was the beginning of God's justice. One candidate said that decision was going to change the world for the better. Grace Thomas's slogan in her campaign was, "Say grace at the polls." During one of her rallies in a little town called Louisville, Georgia, she decided to hold a speech not in a civic center or in a town auditorium. Instead, she held it right there. It was an old slave market in town that had not been torn down. And she said to the modest crowd gathered there, "Thank God this is over," she said. "Thank God this has passed away." She said, "Now is the time for people of Georgia to join hands together, people of every race to join hands together and live as one." Well, that day in Louisville, Grace had a heckler in the crowd, someone who piped up and shouted to her, "Are you a communist?" To which Grace replied, "No." Well, then the man said, "Where did you learn all these blasted ideas from?" Grace paused. Then she turned and she pointed to the tallest steeple in town, the steeple of First Baptist Church. And she said, "I learned them over there. I learned them in Sunday school." Who do people say that I am? Well, some people say Jesus was a prophet. And some people say he was sent here to share with us a better way of life, to hold a mirror up to society and ask the question, do you like what you see? That's who Jesus is to some people. But of course, in our scripture passage this morning, and Peter is not asked just one question, he's asked two. He's not just asked, "Who do people say that I am?" He's asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Because you see, for some people, Jesus may be a teacher, and for others, he may be a prophet, but for some people, he is so much more than that. You know, as best I can tell, from the time I could hold my neck up, I have been in church. As best I can tell, I've always been in a pew listening to a sermon. Well, maybe not listening to the sermon, but being present for a sermon. You see, I was always a kid getting donut holes before a worship service. I was always a kid doing somersaults in church during the prayers of the people, hoping no one would notice. That was me. As far as I can tell, Jesus has always been part of my life. So this is what he means to me. This is why he matters to me. You see, when I've been so ashamed in my life, I couldn't even look myself in the mirror, he was always the one there offering me forgiveness. And when I've been so anxious in my life, where I couldn't even fall asleep at night, Jesus was always the one staying up with me, offering me peace. From the time I was born, he's always been the light in the darkness. He's always been the hope in the midst of despair. And sure, there have been seasons of my life when I've wavered in my faith. There have been times when I've even doubted his very existence. But like a good shepherd, and like a searching woman, and like a loving father, he has always been there to bring me back home again and again and again. So who's Jesus for me? Well, he's the one who saved me, but he's the one who continues to save me. He's the one who healed me, but he's the one who continues to heal me. He's the one who forgave me, and yet he continues to forgive me each and every day. That's who Jesus is for me. As who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Well, for some it's a teacher, some it's a prophet. But for me, well, there's only one way to describe him. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And for that, I am eternally thankful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal and loving God, we thank you that your love was so great, your compassion was so generous, that you gave your only Son to be a light unto the nations, to be a hope unto the downtrodden, to be a Savior, a Redeemer, and a friend. Eternal God, as we journey this holy season of Lent, and we come to that cross, may we too have the faith to boldly proclaim, indeed, he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And may our lives never be the same. And for we offer this prayer in the name of the one who came, the one who died, the one who was raised to new life, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.